I think we need to change the theme tune for this week's edition of A Degree of Interest, because this week I'm talking to James Sultana about dark tourism. I've got goosebumps already.
No, not only you.
So, what is dark tourism?
Yeah, that's a question that everyone obviously asks. And basically, it's let's give it the definition that they give academically.
Mm-hmm.
It's travel to sites, to places, to events related to death.
Okay.
To suffering,
mm-hmm.
Disaster, and seemingly macabre.
Hmm. You look like such a nice man.
I hope I
am. So you talk about, there's obviously an industry in Malta as well, I'm guessing.
Yes, in Malta there is a possibility of an industry in it. I don't think that we are yet exploiting it as much as we could, although the word exploiting is very sensitive in this case, because it's not nice exploiting, obviously, death and suffering. What I mean is that we can tap more into what we have, because at the moment we offer them only in the perspective of history, of culture, of similar subjects, but even in dark tourism, there is the possibility which the same sites can be attractive for people who are interested in this type of tourism.
Okay. So I'm imagining, you know, there's a famous graveyard in Paris, yeah, where there's lots of famous...
Père Lachaise.
Something like that?
In fact, I've been last November.
Ah, okay.
Basically, the places that you can go, mention, I don't know, concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to war sites, you can go to battle sites, you can go to cemeteries, or to museums related with these things, with death or with torture. If we talk about Malta, I think that Malta we have a lot. At the moment, as probably we will be mentioning, I'm lecturing on a unit I designed at the Center for Liberal Arts and Sciences about dark tourism, and one of the students is in fact interested in doing an assignment about what are the possibilities in Malta in general, and there are a lot. Let's start from the fact that most dark tourism is related to history, so obviously we're talking about things that happened in the past. In Malta we have a lot of history which is related to the dark and the Inquisition, the wars, the sieges, burial sites. So all these places can be of attraction. We have beautiful cemeteries. Some of them are in use, so it's most people would be sensitive about marketing them as places for tourists, but we have also those who are not anymore in use, but they are well kept. For example, there is the Emsida Bastions cemetery just down the road from the public library.
Okay.
There are other places that you can go, and you can do tours and whatever. I remember that some years ago I attended a tour at Addolorata. It was an educational tour, but this is something which interests people who are interested in dark tourism. Let's put it like this. A lot of people are interested in dark tourism without knowing that they are interested in dark tourism. I ask my students always the same question. They tell me, I never done dark tourism. I tell them, have you ever been abroad? Yes. Do you always go just on a resort, just for the sea and the sun and whatever? They told me, no. I visit museums, I visit this and that. And then I tell them, okay, which museums did you visit? So if you visited a museum which is about war or something like that, okay, you are visiting about war, but at the same time, war means also suffering and death. That was an example. Some people tell me that, yes, I went to this cemetery because I wanted to see the grave of this artist or whatever. And that's still going to these places.
Hmm. Yes, I was recently in Venice, actually, and I'd wanted to get off at there's one island which is dedicated as a cemetery. You know, obviously in most towns they put the cemeteries outside because of fear of not pollution, what's the word, you know, over time. But then there's one in Venice that's just one island, it's just the cemetery. But my partner didn't want to go. He thought it was really odd, but I thought there must be some really fascinating...
People sometimes think that I am odd in this.
But so what do you teach?
Yeah, basically it's a basic course. That is very important because the people that come to this course mostly are those that know nothing about the subject, and so I have to start from the very basic. It's a course at degree level, so there is not enough time because in 13 lectures and there is so much to discuss that you can just touch upon the topics, and that's that. Obviously I would love to go more into details and more into discussions and everything, but I need to, at least people that attend this course, I need to give them the basics so that once they are out from here and from the course, they know at least the most basic theories about the subject. At least they have touched about these theories. So what I do is I give them the main theories about the subject, what is darkerism, how you classify darkerism sites, what sites can be considered as darkerism. Then there is the ethical issues, because this is extremely important, the subject. I think ethical issues are always important, but especially when you're touching these topics, they are very important. It becomes emotional, so it can be emotional. Once I had a student who recounted her own experience about something that happened to her family, and eventually when she started this course, she felt it too overwhelming. So you have to be very careful. Sometimes, unfortunately, it becomes too emotional, so you have to tread with care. It's not always possible because obviously people are people. Every one of us has their own limit. And so the subject, yes, when doing this subject, you have to very, even when you are careful, sometimes you might say something or whatever that can upset someone.
And also, I guess as you're learning and discovering, you may not actually realize, you know, something might dawn on you. I'd lived in Germany as a child, my father was in the forces, and we went to concentration camps as school children, which was particularly distressing. And not quite, I guess they did it because we were living as British people in Germany, you know. But as a 12-year-old girl, seeing these mounds of earth with, you know, how many bodies were in there, I just couldn't get past the first one.
In fact, it is, yeah. It is a subject which you have to be very careful, and even when you are careful sometimes. You learn also, sometimes you learn the hard way that you have to pay attention on certain things, what you say or whatever. And even when... Even the people that run these places, they might try as much as possible to be as sensitive as possible, but sometimes the reaction is not always the same from everyone. And even there is one particular theory which states that there could be conflict between those that live in the place and the tourists, and different interests which might collide, not just... because some people would like just to forget, but tourism would make it a point not to let them forget. Because, and then there are others which say, yes, in theory you should forget, but it makes money, we can live out of it.
But also some history you shouldn't forget, so that hopefully you don't repeat it, although stupid humans do.
That, unfortunately, human beings are complex.
Yes.
Unfortunately, whatever.
Yes, yeah, so we were talking about history repeating itself earlier about you know, various things, but you know, the plague and now COVID sort of thing, but wars just go on and on and on.
The plague would be another...
COVID museum.
A COVID museum.
There you go.
I think it's still early.
I think there's probably somebody planning it somewhere, though.
Yes, I know, but I that's my belief, it's personal. I think that we should stay away from things that have just happened. Because things in living memory are a bit, can create can hurt someone or whatever. So I'm not saying they shouldn't do it, but they should be very careful.
But we haven't seen the end of the story yet, I'm sure. So.
No, and now, unfortunately, with the war going on in Ukraine.
There we go. Yeah. So, but in Malta, like you said, there are various sites. I remember hearing one about, is there a place where they used to hang people in the Valletta or something?
There is one in Floiana, but there's nothing basically at the moment. But you can, no, they opened, or at least they opened it by appointment, I think. There was an open day at the prisons.
Okay.
Where, in fact, it was about, I believe it was a few months ago, 3 months ago, something like that. I can't remember the date. But I remember I went there, and they have restored and everything, the what we call the forca, the hanging thing. You can see everything, and you can see, basically, you're there, you can see it.
Because you can back up everything by going into the libraries and seeing
documentation. Yes, but exactly, it's different. Reading about something and even looking at a picture is different from literally walking in the room.
Standing on the spot. So in terms of, dark tourism itself, what sorts of people come on the class? What are they looking to learn? Is it a...
I had, and I still have a vast... different types of people, so from tour guides to people working in IT, people from the from architecture, and people interested in all sorts of subjects. Everyone comes with their own perception of what they are going to, what they are going into. Some of them might get disappointed because it's not what they maybe imagined, but most of them tell me at the end of the course, tell me, I didn't come in thinking it was like this, but it's like I was quite pleasantly surprised and very interested in what's the subject.
So it's not necessarily, it's not about the macabre necessarily, it's more the tourism aspect of...
Yes, it's the theories about it, and then I divide it into two of the course. In fact, at the moment I am halfway through it, and half of it is pure theory, and then I start bringing in other people to help me in, talking about certain sites, certain possibilities in Malta. Obviously, we can cover everything, but for example, I cover the Palace of the Inquisitor. Someone else covers the capital punishment. Someone else covers the catacombs.
Okay.
Because they are burial sites. So it's quite. I'm trying to balance between theory and places that they can. Experience.
And that's it, kind of that visualization helps them to...
In fact, I try to take them to places. Unfortunately, during the pandemic, I had to do my lectures online, and it's not nice. I mean, I don't mind doing them online, but certain things, it's better to experience them. And now I hope to manage discussing this, and I probably manage to take them to certain places like St. Angelo's, like the catacombs, so that they can experience a bit of the place. We had planned in March, we had planned a tour of a cemetery, the Tabraxia in Pieta. And unfortunately, it was the day that all hell broke loose with the winds and whatever, and so we had to cancel it.
There you go, there was a sign.
Yeah, someone told me and end up as an exhibit, probably.
But no, so the students that come in, they get the chance, I guess, to discover their own sites as well. But do you teach about the tourism aspect, but there's obviously, you know, people were hanged for sometimes what we would see today is quite minor offences, that, you know, that has to be put into the context
you
as well.
You have to put everything into context. And what I do is, the assignment I give them is something that they want to do. So, obviously, it has to relate to tourism, not to food.
Food's my thing.
Although there is something related to food, for example, there have been famous episodes in history about people killing other people with
poison.
Anyway, that aside, it has to relate to dark tourism, and obviously it has to have a Maltese context. And you can't imagine how much interesting assignments I get, which I learn a lot. I don't believe that as a lecturer, I impart knowledge. I believe that I discover things and I share things with my students, and my students are also my teachers. They teach me through their experiences and through their knowledge.
That's a really nice way of looking at it.
Yeah, I had a recent lecture, I told you about it earlier, with someone that exposed her experience. And I had also another lecture where another student also shared her experience in helping out in a particular museum. And she was recounting these stories, which not a lot of people know because they are personal stories. So yes, I try to balance this out with also trying to learn from my students.
And does it cover things, don't laugh at me here, but no, ghosts no. And that kind of thing?
No, there's nothing to laugh about it, because that is a very hot topic among academics. I used to, before the pandemic always, used to go to regularly to dark tourism conferences around Europe, and this was discussed quite, tempers were getting a bit high, I remember, because some believe that no, you can't take ghost stories as dark tourism, because ghost stories, there is no historical proof about ghosts, there is no physical proof about ghosts. People can believe in ghosts, other people don't believe in ghosts. Others say yes, it's still a ghost because it's still related to a murder, or it's still related to human suffering or whatever. So yes, some say yes and some say no, so it's not. The subject is quite new. I mean, it started in 1996 as an academic subject, so the jury is still out there about what is it and what is not. Although today we have a little bit more information and studies about it.
And I'm sure that might be actually something that brings people in, because they believe or don't believe and they want to be proved or disproved or know where these sites are in Malta, and maybe that piques their interest initially. It's quite an interesting subject. So, like you're saying, tour guides and all sorts of people come in. Tour guides, you can understand.
I have one who is, this person works, with corpse and the studies and sciences and stuff like that. I have other students who are just interested in tourism, and other they are just curious to take these different courses. And they find it interesting. I had also some controversies when once they published an article about it, and I mentioned Auschwitz, that had this controversy in the messages by a group from the city itself, which are apparently against the fact that concentration camp and everything, and they made it a point it's not Polish, the concentration camp, although it's Poland. And I had also an argument once, not an argument, I saw it on Facebook, and I asked the museum director to change the picture, because I gave them a picture of the Dolorata, it was quite a good picture, but someone was felt hurt, because there are the loved ones, but there you cannot monetize or whatever, or so they saw the word tourism, obviously people think that you are exploiting or whatever, which is not always the case. This is a niche and not mass tourism, but obviously from my end I try always at least to try not to hurt people, as at least I try it.
No, I mean, like I said, it's a sensitive subject, but people are going to...
You cannot always please everyone.
No, and I'm sure people get more delicate.
Anyway, but you should try at least.
Yeah, but the subject is the subject.
Yes, the subject is the subject.
There's only certain...
But how you approach it and everything can sometimes make the whole difference. Mm.
No, because I went on a tour of a Jewish quarter in Hungary once, and we would go through the synagogue, and there was a particular gravestone, and the gravestones, the name on this gravestone was Adolf something, and I sort of said to my partner, oh, can you imagine being, you know, Jewish and naming your son Adolf, and then all of that happened. Mm. Didn't really think more about it. You go through, and they have this beautiful, beautiful tree in the back garden, which is made of metal, and all of the leaves have the name of a victim of the Holocaust stamped onto them. And I took a photo, and I zoomed in, and there are thousands and thousands of these leaves on this tree, and the one I zoomed in on, by complete coincidence, was exactly the same gravestone. That's spooky. That, because don't you think? I looked him up actually, because then I thought, you're trying to tell me something. I'm not being kooky. I genuinely thought this person was trying to tell me something, and I looked him up, and he was married to a nurse, and you know, it was so sad.
But. In fact, I think that's one nice thing about doctorism, is that it makes you more in touch with humanity. I tell my students not to look at doctorism as something about death, to look at it as something about life. This is also a theory that is being proposed, that doctorism could be about life more than death. It's about suffering, it's about death, but behind that there is a story, a human story, and as human beings we should celebrate life. We should understand life, and we should learn from these stories to hopefully one day stop being what we are and making other people suffer. I don't know if we'll ever be there. I don't think it's in our lifetime, but hopefully one day maybe.
There's something we're not learning, isn't there? There's something you think, why do we keep doing the same things over and over and realize it doesn't get us any further?
Yeah, I also love science fiction. And so watch these series like Star Trek or whatever. Mm-hmm. I always hope that one day we will, yes, arrive at a point where everyone will be in harmony without, but
yeah, not fiction being the I don't really think that's a...
But doctorism, go back to doctorism. I think that, yes, once you go there, you see the grave, you mentioned a particular instance, you start coming in touch with people, with real people. Because sometimes when we study anything from history to sociology to whatever, sometimes we study it on books, but we forget that these are touching the people.
Mm. And that's it, bringing it back to the Malta story. When you're down in Birgu, and you go to there's a war museum there in the fortress, and then you see the little shelters that were hewn out, and the birthing rooms and those things. That puts into perspective how people actually coped in the war. You hear these stories, but when you physically see the size of space.
In fact, I tell the students, I'm calling them students, but in reality they are basically adults, in some instances maybe colleagues or whatever. I tell them that, look, an important aspect is empathy. If you don't have empathy, then it's a problem. You have to put yourself in the shoes of these people and understand through their eyes. So it's very important. Otherwise, it can become something which is not very nice.
Mm. No, and it's not just stories to repeat at dinner. These are, I think they pull you in.
Exactly.
And like I said, it's all about life because it's the social history.
Exactly. And I also, this is the point that I try to make. Always remember that after what you're seeing, there is a human, whatever story about someone, mm-hmm. about a family, about a person who suffered like you. Mm.
Like us, all of us.
All of us, exactly. Okay.
So this course, does it start again in October, or does it run every semester?
No, it doesn't. I mean, there is no fixed time.
Okay.
For now, it always ran in the second semester,
mm-hmm.
so it starts in February. I've done it, I think, 4 times out of last 5 years. Every year, depending on the program that they issue, the director might ask me whether I want to deliver it or not, You usually say yes. but obviously it depends how many people apply then.
Okay, so we'll, if people are interested to find out about...
Next year now,
yes, that'll be February 2023.
Time is...
Racing. Well, been really interesting to talk to you, and I'm glad it wasn't spooky and it's not going to give me nightmares. That was All About Dark Tourism with James Sultana. Thank you so much for joining me on this week's A Degree of Interest.